be all right.
It's Halloween 2012. Reese on the radio, right here, 1 minute after the hour on blogtalkradio.com, October the 31st. It's Halloween. To be honest with you, I can't remember the last time I ever celebrated the Halloween. I can't remember the last time I went to a Halloween party. I just don't do it. But then again, I don't do all the other crazy holidays either, with the exception of the 4th of July. Which is, I wouldn't say it's a big deal. It's an important day, and I celebrate it because it's relevant. I don't do the Christmas thing. Thanksgiving is a bust. I did celebrate Thanksgiving last year, and it was nice. It was, it's a whole display, whatever. I think there's about 4 people there. I can't remember. The last time before then, I did Halloween, in Thanksgiving. So Halloween has never ever been tops on my list. I've always made fun of Halloween. I've always poked fun at it, even though I've dressed up. Don't get me wrong. My standard is always, and a lot of people know this, some people don't. For about 3 years, every Halloween, I dressed up as my favorite character in film. You all know who it is. Come on, take a guess, Mary.
Somebody in Star Wars.
Exactamundo. Come on. Who else in Star Wars? You know it ain't Luke Skywalker. And I'm damn sure
you're going to be here. Your father.
Yeah, that's right. I am your father. It's always Darth Vader. Most important character in history. Still voted the most popular villain in all movie history. By the way, I got some other Darth Vader news I need to share. We're going to talk about that later on, maybe in the 9 o'clock hour. We'll get into that. Effing Mickey. I'm going to rip his ass apart today.
Sons of bitches.
Anyway, so as I told people on Facebook, if you're tuning in, I think that it's only appropriate that you tune in right now for the greatest Halloween story you've ever heard. There is no denying that this story is the greatest Halloween story you've ever heard. Now, this is sometime in the 90s. I want to say it was about maybe 95, maybe 96. And my old stomping ground was a place in New York in Lower Manhattan. Probably zoned off now for no traffic, but called Washington Square Park. Now, I would suggest that you look it up on Google Maps, maybe Bling or whatever it is, because not that it really has to set the stage, but I can set the stage here. There is the famous Washington Square Park Arch, and that is it ends right at Fifth Avenue. And if you're coming from Fifth Avenue going south, just to the left of Washington Square Park, you go around the outer circle to the left. And that's where I used to hang out. Whole bunch of friends. People did everything there. They were smoking weed, drinking beer, doing
crack.
Now, I don't know about crack. We didn't do the crack day.
But they didn't say you did it.
No. My crowd didn't do crack.
I didn't say that your crowd did crack.
Well, yes, people did crack in the park. Yes, you're absolutely right. But my crowd, drinking beer, smoking a little marijuana, telling jokes, being funny. That was my thing. I went there, we drink a couple of beers, we joke around and have some fun. It's my 20s. This is what we did. After work, that's where I would hang out. And here it is, Halloween night. Well, let's say Halloween dawn. And, it starts getting dark. Wait, which one is dawn? Is dawn when it gets dark or dawn when it breaks?
No, dusk.
Dusk, that's it. Dusk, thank you. Dusk. The sun is starting to come down. It's a little bluish hue over the air. You all know what it looks like when it's getting there. You can still see. So anyway, I'm standing there with a friend of mine named Tap. That was his nickname, Tap. His real name is Cornelius. Now you know why he calls himself Tap. He probably wanted to tap his mom's right in the jaw for giving him the name Cornelius. But nonetheless, he and I are hanging out. We got nothing to do that day. We are bored. So we're just sitting around people watching like most people do. It's Halloween, for crying out loud, and it's the West Village. And people are walking around, and you see them all dressed up. Oh, look over there. That person is the Riddler. Oh, look over there. That person is Jekyll and Hyde. Oh, look over there. She's a naughty nurse. Okay, maybe she should come over here. But anyway, nonetheless, we're checking all of these people. So Tap and I are sitting on the right-hand side of Washington Square Park, you know, where I positioned this whole story. We're sitting on the short fence. We're just communicating with one another, talking about BS and all the stuff that we see. So three people are walking towards Tap. I don't know them. I don't recognize them. I've never met them, but they clearly know Tap. And it's three people. One girl dressed in white, another girl dressed in black, and a guy who's dressed in a brown three-piece suit. So I look at the girl in white, and guess what? The girl in white, she's dressed as Princess Leia. And as you know, Star Wars, famous movie, favorite movie. Hey, that's a great Princess Leia costume. She got the little buns in the hair and everything. She looked perfect. I look at the woman in the black. She's dressed as a witch. And I say, hey, are you like a Wicked Witch of the West from Wizard of Oz or just a regular witch? And she says, no, I'm just a regular witch. She goes, oh, but that would have been great. I should tell everybody that. You know, we laugh and we giggle on that. And the guy in the three-piece suit rolls up in a wheelchair. And I look at him and I go, that is the best costume I've seen all day. Ironside, famous 70s crime drama. Ironside. You know, remember that? The guy looks at me right in my face and he goes, oh, Dick, I see him home from a wheelchair. I'm paralyzed from the waist down. Now, how am I supposed to know? How am I supposed to know? It's Halloween in the West Village. I'm thinking this guy went all out. It's Halloween night. He's in a wheelchair. He's with Princess Leia and the Wicked Witch of the West. How am I supposed to figure that out? Ironside seemed like a fair guess. No one would think of that except for me, which clearly seemed like it made sense. But I was wrong. And he was completely insulted and he thought that I was making fun of him for being paralyzed. But I wasn't. I wasn't. And it's been eating me alive for years. And that's why I call it the greatest Halloween story ever. Because even when I'm thinking that people are going all out, it turns out that they're just paralyzed. That's all I can tell you. Nonetheless, it's Halloween. And Mary, you're going to have to cut that thing off, please. Can you?
Yes,
please.
Right.
Yeah, thank you. It's hot in this apartment.
Well, nobody told you to keep the heat on.
Well, I turned the heat on because it's cold. It's cold now. And that's the bottom line. It's cold now. We need heat. I won't be freezing like the... Ow! Goodness gracious. I won't be freezing like everybody else. Everybody else can freeze. But anyway, Mike. White Mike writes to me on Twitter, I thought your favorite character was Pookie. Well, I hope he doesn't mean Pookie from New Jack City. Because, I mean, I like Pookie from New Jack City, but I wouldn't say he was my favorite character from New Jack City. I would probably go with, who was my favorite character from New Jack City? Judd Hirsch's character. Not Judd. What was his name? Why am I forgetting his name? Not Judd. Yeah. Judd Nelson. That was my favorite character from New Jack City. But no, Pookie, I would never ever be. Would never ever be my favorite character, although he was a spectacle. But anyway, I don't know what the rest of you are doing for Halloween. I'm sure you're out there. If you've got children, you're walking around, you're collecting candy. Please be safe. Please do not eat everything it is that you get. I don't know, do people still remember that thing when you were in the 70s? Folks, does anybody remember in the 70s that huge outcry for people to cut the apples in half before you ate them? Because they said that people were putting razor blades in them. Do you remember how cruel they said the world was? Razor blades in apples.
Well, they're still saying that to this day.
Really? Is that still?
Yeah.
I never hear people talk about the razor blades in the apples anymore.
Yeah, yeah. Or you just don't. I mean, when you get an apple, you say thank you. After you say trick or treat, the lady gives you an apple. You usually leave it in the yard.
But see, now, see, this is what makes me laugh. And there's a reason why I bring this up. Because, you know, with people like Michelle Obama.
Oh, boy.
Michael Bloomberg. With this whole get fit, get your workout on, run a lap, eat some fruit. I mean, don't you think that there are people out there who are influenced by these people who are saying, you know what? Obesity is an epidemic in this country, and I'm not giving out sweets and candy. I'm going to give out apples and oranges. Don't you think there are going to be some people out there who are doing it? And no kid is going to eat it because mom and dad, paranoid as they are today, is going to say, don't eat that, Timmy. Timmy, don't eat that. There could be a razor blade in that. Let me cut it in half for you. Now, I don't. Look, I'm not a big candy fan. I mean, except for Twizzlers, which is my big deal. I love jelly beans. Of course, because of Ronald Reagan. Yes, I'm sorry. I'm old. Yes. I'm just as silly as people who buy People magazine, you know, to see Tom Cruise on the cover. I like jelly beans because Ronald Reagan liked jelly beans. That's probably my silliest admittance. It's probably the silliest thing I've ever admitted out loud. I've always loved jelly beans because of that. But see, I don't see people giving out jelly beans anymore. I don't know what the top candies are. I don't know what the things that kids like anymore. Gummy worms, sour grapes. What? Sour grapes, that's not really a real candy, is it?
What if sour grapes is a real candy.
That is sour grapes. I thought that was something that you had.
No.
I don't know. I know Sour Patch Kids that big now.
Yeah, you don't know what I give out?
What do you give out?
I had a big 100-pack bag of the Hershey's variety pack.
Okay, so yeah, Hershey's is always going to be big. Hershey's is always big. But isn't there a candy that what's the candy that the kids are really nuts about? When I was a kid, we had Red Hot, Lemonhead. You know, now we're late.
Whoa! Lemonheads.
Lemonheads.
Yeah, they now make those soft for the old folks like me.
I didn't hear what you said. Say it again.
They make lemon heads soft now, chewy.
Oh, they're chewy?
Yeah.
Okay, let me break down the candy.
But the sour, anything sour, like Sour Patch Kids, sour gummy worms, anything sour that then gets sweet is what's hot with the young kids.
Dude, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups or Reese's, Twix, M&M's,
Snickers.
Peanut butter M&M's, pretzel M&M's, any kind of M&M's, Mr. Good Bars, Almond Joys, Mounds.
This is all chocolate?
Yes, that's what kids like.
Yeah, but I always thought that the kids like gummy worms, the sour worms, stuff like that. I always thought that was big.
I never liked that candy.
If parents are today like they were when I was a kid, I mean, my father used to raid all the chocolates.
You know what my big candy was when I was a kid? They used to sell them in a little, sort of like a pinkish and red box. They were called Boston Babies.
Those were one of my favorite candies.
Oh, love those.
I wish I would have known that because I would have gotten some because the gas station in the ghetto where I've been working has Boston Babies, Lemonheads, What's those candy peanuts?
Burt candy peanuts.
It's a different one. They have those. They have lemon heads. They have real Nowalators. They have Chico sticks.
Yeah, that was my favorite.
What happened to the Now and Later? I mean, did they get their ass whipped by Starburst?
Yeah.
No, they're still around. In fact, they make Chewy Nowalators now.
Yeah, that's what destroyed it for me. Nowalators are not supposed to be chewy.
Dude, I used to put them on the radiator in the hood just to get them soft and chewy.
Yeah, I remember that. I love the hard Nowalators.
I liked when a lot of people gave, like, McDonald's gift certificates.
Those are cool.
They
yeah.
have, like, the Halloween coupon booklet. I love those things.
But you know the sucky part about that was, Mary? Sorry to call you Nancy. Don't ask me why. But the sucky part of that is that you can only use one coupon per visit.
Oh.
So you go in, you use the coupon, you leave out, you come back in, and you use the next coupon. Or you take your friends with you.
Then you got to give them one.
So what?
No, 9 times out of 10, they got some too.
Yeah, but what do you get with the coupon?
So y'all go in and out.
You get, like, fries.
You get fries, ice cream cones. You get
ice cream cone on November 1st.
They're good until November 1st?
No, who wants an ice cream cone on November 1st?
Who doesn't want an ice cream cone on November 1st?
I don't know. I don't.
It's cold as hell out here tonight.
What?
Yeah, you said
it's cold out tonight.
That's why you eat the shit in the McDonald's. You don't go outside with it.
Hey, listen, half of Connecticut has postponed Halloween.
Yeah, I heard Jersey canceled it altogether.
No. No, they're still out here. But then again, I am on the south end of Hartford, where there's a bodega selling fried pork on every corner.
Really?
Yeah. I told you, I'm the only one in my. I think out of 80 units in my building, I think I'm one of two African Americans. The rest are Boricua.
Yeah. How do the Boricuas? I mean, what do the Boricuas give for candy?
I don't know. We never went to their door.
You never went to their door?
We always told them to stay away as a kid. We always told them to stay away as a kid.
They give away the same damn candy as everybody else.
You sure?
It's the Mexicans and the Guadalupe.
Guatemalans.
It's the Mexicans and the El Salvadorians and the, you know, countries like that that may give out weird stuff. But they give out... Puerto Ricans are pretty much American.
Oh, do you know what I hated going to? I hated going trick-or-treating as a kid. To the Indian household.
We
I'm
never
sorry.
Went there. We went to the good... We Okay, I'm sorry. I won't say that. Let me retract that. We went to the rich neighborhood. We didn't trick-or-treat in our own neighborhood. We would
no,
go
you
to, like,
went
Belrose.
To, or you always went to a candy bar. They gave you a full-size candy bar.
We would go to Bayside or, you know, something like that. We wouldn't go to our neighborhood. Or we'd go to Rosedale.
You go to the Jamaicans and they give you candied ginger.
Oh, I remember that once.
Ew.
Oh. I mean, I think it was an act of diplomacy on their part, trying to get kids interested in different things. You know, between the do and they get them kids into something different, man. I'm the currency.
You open the door, you think it's fog, and you walk into a weed cloud, and they give you ginger candy.
Yeah. Now take this ginger candy, man. It's different, man. It's all that junk food is real pure, man.
You can't put that thing in your body like that. What's wrong with you? Where your mother? Where your mother?
Well, I want to know what they never ever tell you what's the most, like, popular candy. Give it although they're saying it's like $8 billion worth of candies being purchased this year. I mean, sorry, $8 billion in Halloween costumes are being bought. I would totally love to find out, like, what were the most popular candies this year.
Well, can I tell you what the most popular costume was this year?
What? Which one? Please tell me.
According to Black Radio.
Really? Black Radio?
Yeah.
Please say it was Barack Obama.
Nope.
No.
Barack.
It was Big Bird.
Are you kidding me?
Nope.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Big Bird was the most popular?
According to 96.3.
I just can't believe that.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
We'll take a break when we come back. I got plenty of other news. We got to get into Mickey Mouse taking over Star Wars. I'm mortified at this. Mortified.
Imagine if the rides they're going to put together, though.
Oh, it's not going to be about rides. Trust me. Trust me. Trust me. When you hear the latest news, you're going to freak out. Because I don't know what the hell they think they're doing over there at Disney. They're about to destroy the entire franchise, which, of course, I already thought was a wrap anyway. But we'll be back. Stick around. It's Reese on the Radio.
I'm furious, leaving you curious. How did he do that? Who that master man with the master?
live from Lab Cabin, California, back in 1995. The END, one of my favorite albums of all time. Right here on Reese on the Radio, 26 minutes after the hour, right here on blogtalkradio.com. Okay, as I said before, we went to a break. So they've decided that, or at least George Lucas, for that matter, has decided that he wants to destroy what little time it is that I have left on this earth. And
what did you say? The little time you have left on this earth?
Yes, in other words, the rest of my life. He wants to destroy it.
I think that would be a long time.
Well, it doesn't matter. That I can't avoid this. This is going to be like a train wreck to me, but I can't avoid it. You see, even though I knew that the last Star Wars movie was going to be a complete and utter joke, I still went to go see the movie, and that was Revenge of the Sith. I don't know whether or not the rest of you saw this, but if you look online, you will probably see when I was... quoted in the New York Daily News by David Hinckley, who writes the Radio Dial section, about how I called that movie the worst film I had ever seen. But now, it's gone to an all new low. Couldn't get any worse, folks, because now good old Mickey Mouse is in charge of Lucasfilm. I hear they're getting Indiana Jones too. I don't really care about that franchise because that last film I saw was also straight garbage, Crystal Skull garbage. I saw that in New Hampshire with a bunch of my listeners who went up to New Hampshire to go watch that movie with me. I had a blast. With all of them. The movie was straight garbage. Couldn't believe that garbage. But anyway, nonetheless, back to Star Wars. So what do? They give Star Wars over to the house that the mouse built. The House of Mouse. Boo-hoo-hoo! Hello, Darth Vader. I just can't deal with it. See, they're going to have these stupid commercials with Darth Vader standing there whipping out his lightsaber and Mickey Mouse standing next to him, probably cowering in fear. Maybe he'll do some stupid thing with Goofy. It's going to be a joke. Then they'll be able to put Mickey as like Luke Skywalker. They'll put Minnie as Princess Leia. I know they're going to do it. They completely destroyed the Muppets. And they've completely destroyed the Muppets. When have you ever known the Muppets to be political fake? Now you got Miss Piggy making comments about Fox News. Yeah. Kermit the Frog. Huh? This is a guy who used to give, news stories about the weather. Now he's making political statements. Even Elmo's gotten in on it. Because they're run by the folks over at that Nazi group known as Walt Disney. Oh, y'all know Walt Disney was supporting the Nazis. I don't have to tell you anything new. You all know. What do you think's going to happen to Darth Vader? Well, he'll be dead in the next episode, apparently. Because they're doing episode 7. And they said they're not going to follow the template of any of the books that have been written, which totally destroys, that whole Star Wars universe. If you followed it, you know what that's about. Will Han Solo and Leia have twins? Or, have twins and then have another son who grows up to be the most powerful Jedi ever? Will that happen? Will Luke end up being like this great overlord who'll be the new Obi-Wan? Will that happen? Probably not. They're going to bring in another actor to play Luke Skywalker. They're going to try to reinvent Luke Skywalker. The Luke Skywalker story is over. Okay? Mom's dead. Dad's dead. Sister's with Han Solo. He regrets ever kissing her. If he goes on, he becomes a hermit. Keeps it moving. That's it. That's the end of the story for Luke Skywalker. It's over. Unless you read the books. And, you know, Luke doesn't go on any real adventures anymore. You know, the action takes place with other new characters. They moved on. I don't want to see an episode 7 where Luke Skywalker's trying to, you know, get his second win. Who's he going to find out? He's got a vicious uncle? He's got an evil aunt? What are they going to do with him? The family's dead. The only thing left is Leia.
Well, I mean, Reese.
Mm-hmm.
Do you honestly want Mark Hamill playing Luke Skywalker now?
No, he's never coming back. That means they're going to hire a new actor to play him.
Well, you wouldn't want... I don't think I'd want him back right now.
Yeah, of course, I don't want him back. But you
unless...
know they're going to hire somebody like... They're going to hire that kid Zac Efron or something. You know, it's Walt Disney. They need to appeal.
Yeah.
It's going to be one of the kids from the Hannah Montana films.
Like, or Jonah's brother.
Yeah, like, yeah. It's going to be one of those people. Let's bring in White Mike.
Man, are you serious right now?
Yes, I'm serious right now. I'm going to get into the other news of the day, but I'm pissed off about it.
Did you not see the Avengers?
Yeah, I saw. Okay. If you're suggesting because Walt
Disney
owns...
Disney owns Marvel.
Right.
And
Disney
the Marvel,
Marvel
movies have been hitting it out of the park lately. I can't think of anybody I would trust with that franchise better than the people at Disney. They didn't cock up Marvel. I mean, the Iron Man movies are awesome. Avengers was really true to the source material. I think Disney's going to do a great job.
With Star Wars, though? I mean, think about this.
You think Star Wars is any more beloved than the Marvel canon?
No.
Of course not.
You know, I think you got a great point here, Mike, but look at it from this perspective, okay? All right. Marvel has been able to do one thing with its characters and with its comic books, and that is reimagine the story from several perspectives, right? You get new artists, you get new storytellers, and then you get these other people. Like, I'll give you a perfect example. Like, I was complaining last week about all of a sudden Superman is no longer working for the Daily Planet. Now he's a blogger, you know?
Yeah.
And they get to reimagine it because it's a comic book and they get to change with the times. Star Wars, on the other hand, sticks to a main script. You can't reimagine the story.
But you can do like they did in the books and just explore different parts of the universe. I mean, that's
right.
A nice thing about Star Wars, man. It's a totally made-up thing that's ever-expanding and evolving.
Okay, I'll put it to you like this.
They can do whatever they want.
Did you like what they did with the new Star Trek?
No, but I understood why they did it. I like J.J. Abrams. He's a good director. But they were trying to reinvent it and find a younger audience. I know
right.
Trekkers that absolutely loved it.
Right.
I didn't like it, and I didn't like it for a really dumb reason. I didn't like it because they made Spock horny.
Right.
And as anybody who knows that source material, Vulcans only get horny every 7 years.
That's right. That's right.
But, you know, they threw in Chris Pine, who has actually turned into a pretty good actor.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know what they were trying to do. I don't see them doing anything really wild with Star Wars because, you know, they didn't goof up Marvel.
Well, I understand. Not goofing up Marvel is pretty easy when you have guys like Josh Whedon, when you got Jon Favreau. These guys really, really appreciate the core source material of the characters.
You think there were lots of young directors in Hollywood that would love to take a crack at that material? I mean, face it, the best movies in the Star Wars trilogy, the original, weren't
right.
directed by George Lucas.
None of the three, exactly. None of the first three, yeah, right? None of the original three were directed by George Lucas.
No, George Lucas directed Star Wars. But Star Wars is not the superior film in the trilogy. Everybody knows Empire Strikes Back is the best.
He directed Star Wars, and Irving Kirshner, who directed Empire Strikes Back, which is the best of all three.
So maybe they give it to, I don't know, maybe Joss Whedon gets a shot. Maybe Quentin Tarantino gets a shot.
No, not yet. Please don't even suggest him. See, because he'll be forced to make this a dark movie, and Disney doesn't want to do that. But here's what I'm saying. Remember what most directors do with a remake or reimagining, as J.J. Abrams did with Star Trek. The idea was, I want to do a Star Trek that's better than any one of the other ones directed by, you know, Leonard Nimoy directed one of the Star Trek movies. Of course, William Shatner directed a really horrible one. which one did Leonard Nimoy direct? Was that The Voyage Home?
Okay.
Episode 4. And number 3, I think that was William Shatner who directed that one. And of course, everybody says, of course, you know, leaps and bounds, The Voyage Home was the best, you know, best one, except with the exception of Wrath of Khan, which was, of course, stellar. But my problem is that I don't want directors trying to outdo George Lucas or, in for that matter, Irving Kirshner, who made what I believe is the best Star Wars film of all time out of all six.
See, I look at it, it's very similar to Marvel. When J.J. Abrams redid Star Trek, he purposely redid the original Star Trek. You know, he didn't redo Next Generation or Deep Space Nine. He redid the original because that's the source material he chose. But I don't think anybody is going to choose to redo the original trilogy, which would be the comparison. You know, it's Star Wars, man. Like you said, there are dozens of books, and they can do whatever they want. They don't have to necessarily follow Han and Leia's kid or Luke rebuilding the Jedi Legion or whatever. It's like Marvel in that there's almost a never-ending bunch of source material. And there's talk of what's Marvel's next film? There's talk of Cloak and Dagger.
Oh.
And there's some weird thing. Their next one out is Guardians of the Galaxy, something I've never heard of.
I don't even know any of those characters. I saw
that. Has a one of them is a talking squirrel or something.
Yeah. It's Sly Fox. Sly Fox is his name, and it's a whole bunch of characters who had very short-lived, quote unquote, comic book careers, and they were all put together in this Avengers type comic book.
Well, excuse me, I may be wrong here, but isn't Guardians of the Galaxy some new, like a Pixar type film out right now?
No. You're exactly right. You're talking about with Santa Claus.
With Santa Claus,
Santa Claus, the Sandman, the Easter Bunny, there's something similar to that. I forget the name of that movie.
The Guardians of the Galaxy movie is being directed by James Gunn. And it might actually be okay because James Gunn has made a couple of pretty interesting little independent superhero movies. He did one called Super with Rainn Wilson.
Yes, I saw that.
That was really kind of wild.
He
did. He did another one that was what's that called? He did one called Humanzy, which was a TV show, a web movie. He's an interesting director. He works for the Troma Film Company. You know, the guys who did Toxic Avenger and all that.
Right.
So it might actually be okay. Super was really decent.
Super was decent until that scene where what's her name? Emma. What's her name? From the movie Juno.
Page.
Ellen Page. When she got her face blown off, that's.
Mm-hmm.
I was done with that movie. As soon as I saw that, when she was lying on the ground, her face was completely blown off, I was like, oh my God, I'm done with this movie. It was too much for me.
I was actually pretty happy that it was Disney, man.
You were? You were excited that this.
Oh, yeah, Edward, I mean, like, Disney has a solid track record, man. I mean, look at Pixar.
Well, I'll admit, look, it's not like Pixar has never, ever put out a dud. I'm not going to lie. But, you know, I think that's because Pixar won't let Disney come in and take advantage of what it is that they do. They've never let them run roughshod over them.
Or maybe Disney's smart enough to realize they shouldn't kill the goose that lays the golden eggs.
Pretty much. And I agree with you there. Edward, are you in agreement with this Disney deal?
I'm fine with the Disney deal. You said that you're afraid that Disney might cock it up, but nobody's cocked it up more than George Lucas has over the years.
That's my point. That's exactly my point. Because, again,
Disney can't do any worse. Think of Han and Greedo. Han shot Greedo first, and then he comes back and changes it to make Greedo shoot but miss at like 3 feet away. Come on.
Can anybody say Jar Jar Binks?
Thank you.
And Watto? How does George Lucas get away with putting the most racist stereotypes in his movies, by the way? And nobody called him on it.
He sure enough did, because, you know, what's the little mosquito in episode one of the Phantom Menace?
That's Watto.
Yeah.
He was like the most Jewish guy since Jackie Mason. But you want to take my slave? What are you talking about? Annie, go back to work. What's the big deal, Bupkis? Like, good God, man. He even gave him a yarmulke and, like, those side locks.
Yeah. The payas? I don't remember him having payas.
Yeah, he has, like, little dangly things on the side of his face.
Oh, I'm going to look at that again. I don't remember any payas on him. That's just awful.
And remember in the original trilogy, there was the Asian stereotype who was on the ship. His name was Nien Nund or whatever.
Whoa. You talking about the original series? Which movie?
Yeah. Return of the Jedi.
Okay, so you.
And they
about...
were massing to destroy the Death Star as it was being rebuilt.
Right. He was Lando Calrissian's co-pilot.
Yeah.
But he was actually
he was
speaking an African language. He wasn't Latino.
But he looked Asian.
He was very specifically Asian.
I thought he was supposed to be a pygmy.
You thought he was supposed to be a what?
A pygmy.
It's something like that. Wait a minute, what about Admiral Akbar? What was he supposed to be?
That's a trap.
It's a trap.
Yeah, I got no problem with Disney, man. I mean, it could be a lot worse. And I don't think Walt was a Nazi, man. He made anti-Nazi propaganda films.
I'm almost certain Walt Disney.
No, he just said, don't let the Jews take my studio.
Exactly.
But hey, you know, Ted Turner said the same thing, and now Ted Turner's like, screwed.
You know, if you look at some of the Star Wars properties that have come out, some of the best ones have been things that George Lucas has not had his hand stuck in.
Yeah.
Well,
what was the video game? Are you talking about Knights of the Lost Empire?
Okay. In particular, the Timothy Zahn novels, the first ones that he allowed to be written, those are excellent novels. If you haven't read them, you need to pick them up. They are great.
Who's the subject matter in those books?
It was the main enemy in it was Grand Admiral Thrawn, a brand new villain that the writer Timothy Zahn came up with. And he was more menacing than Darth Vader. He had no powers, but he was a much better villain than Darth Vader and Emperor combined, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, that was the only thing I'll say. Look, even though I always admit Darth Vader is my favorite villain of all time, it has more to do with soundbite than anything. It's not like Darth Vader was this real crude, cruel, you know. I think the most vicious thing Darth Vader ever did was blow up a planet. That's it. You know, choking a guy out and cutting off Luke's arm are pale in comparison to him blowing up Alderaan. That's about it.
That was actually the Grand Admiral who was in charge, who said that order, not Darth Vader.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, but yeah, I mean, exactly. But I mean, you know, he's sort of. I mean, come on, he's a co-conspirator. If anything.
In my opinion, in the first Star Wars, Darth Vader was like a mean dog that Grand Admiral had under control.
Yeah, I agree with you. I didn't like the fact that here's a guy who was trained by the Emperor, was the Emperor's right-hand man, and then he throws Darth Vader into the hands of General Tarkin and just says, you know, like, oh, you control him now. I was like, hey, man, I just got all my training from the Dark Lord. He was like, big poobah. And I play second fiddle to this just general.
Who has force powers or anything.
Yeah, exactly. It's just awful. But, okay, so I'll ask one last question, okay? One last question, last discussion. What do you think Episode 7 is going to be about? Because it has to have something that people, the original fans of this series, can appreciate. They know that this is after what I would consider one of the worst in the first trilogy. It's after Return of the Jedi. Darth Vader's dead. You know, Luke and Luke is buried and burned his father. You know, he cremated his father. Leia and Han Solo, obviously in love, and they're going to get married. What do you do now?
It has to be set sometime after after Return of the Jedi, maybe 10, 20 years. But one thing that might be interesting is to see what happened to the remnants of the Empire. You know, because even though you destroyed the Death Star, destroyed, you know, the,
right.
you know, there still has to be people with goddamn Imperial Star Destroyers out there. What are they doing?
Exactly. They didn't kill. They didn't get rid of every commander. They didn't get rid of every sort of outfit within the
infrastructure. Is still there.
Yeah, the elements of it still have to be there.
I think you base it around the droids. I mean, they're the only constant in the series anyway. You base it around what happened to C-3PO and R2-D2. Because they're the only ones who are not going to age in the film.
Okay, so does that mean that Disney now puts sort of R2-D2 and C-3PO in some sort of starring role, so to speak, as they introduce these new characters?
Well, they'll be they're the touchstone to the 6 movies prior.
Right.
They don't have to increase their role, but as long as they have a role, they connect the audience to the material they already understand. They're going to get into adventures as long as they have working parts and batteries.
This is true. But see, here's the part where I think that Disney is going to do this, and I know this is going to happen. The only way Disney is going to make this profitable in their minds is if they follow at least a degree of where the books went, with Leia and Han Solo, and since Carrie Fisher and and Harrison Ford are still alive, give them a cameo role to some degree where they're old as hell and they introduce maybe a kid of theirs, maybe even kill them off in some sort of way, and now this kid is going around avenging Han and Leia, against this new Empire villain. It just sounds right.
Jedis aren't supposed to seek revenge.
Well, this is true. But he's got this some way. I mean, come on. What did Luke join the Force for? I mean, what did Luke join the Rebels for?
I think the story is that Luke was going to go off and rebuild the Jedis.
According to the book, that's what he did. That's what he was supposed to go out and do, was to go seek out new Jedis. But
Have you seen what your producer just posted on Facebook?
Yes, I did.
God, I need eye bleach.
Are you talking about Modern Warfare?
No, the picture of his Halloween costume.
No.
Excuse me, that was going to be a surprise.
Oh, I've got to see it now. Oh,
I'm going to have to put myself on mute while I laugh.
Hold on. I'm about to go to his page right now. JC, what have you done? I can't wait to see this. My Halloween costume. Oh, no. Oh, my God. Oh, man, I have to share it. I have to share it. You've done it. You've definitely done it.
I was almost, I had to think twice. I almost made a mistake and brought a Brad Pitt costume.
This is insanity.
Been to crash that damn 10-speed through my window. And Mike, what do you mean, show some class?
Say again?
Show some class.
You said show some class, Mike?
Well, you posted, no, I said way to keep it classy when you posted
way to
the
keep
dog
it classy.
Talking about how some girl
no, 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 okay. was that not hilarious?
It was hilarious.
Did you see the look on a dog's face?
I did.
Wait, what dog?
It's another picture on my page that I posted early this morning of a dog. And you gotta see the look on a dog's face.
Oh, yeah. Yes, I like that one too. I saw that one earlier.
That dog's face is priceless.
Oh, man. Are you really going out like that?
Huh?
No. Are you really going out like that?
I'm answering my door like that.
Oh, my goodness. That's just sick and awful. Oh, anyway, you know, sadly, you know, there's a whole bunch of other crap that I have to get into today, especially about this new Benghazi story that just, again, broke today about an August 15th email that happened less than a month before the attacks. At the consulate, that apparently no one is, you know, again, talking about other than Fox News. Plus, there was some other news that I wanted to get into about this hurricane, which I still to this day, look, I understand that a couple of parts of New Jersey are devastated and lower Manhattan is underwater, but I'm done with this coverage. I'm just done with it. It is overdone. To the point where I just can't deal with it anymore. So we'll get into some of that and some of the reports that have been out about that. We'll take a break. We'll go to the top of the hour, as we always do, at 9 o'clock. And that and plenty of other stories, of course, when we get back. Let me just get to this G-Live song. There it is, and I can't find it. And, of course, I always have this problem when I'm looking for something. I can never, ever. There we go. All right. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Top of the hour. 3-7 Radio.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I like it like that with just the drums, you know what I'm saying? Don't even need no loop or nothing. Then you can just bring it back around
you
like,
Mad life. Come on, yeah.
That's what I'm talking about, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, let me bring it up a little bit.
When I put
open up so I can move where I wanted to. Make way, coming through. Too hard to hit the brakes, so please don't hesitate. Move, damn it, either left, right, duck or levitate. Stick a swim, something's gotta give. What's it gonna take? Cause where I'm at, I can't stay here. Nah, too many late bills, too many close calls. They got me asking why I even try to do this for. But then I see it in your faces when I'm out on tour. Trust the fan, man, showing all the love and support. Got me somebody on the mic, let it tell it like it is, was, and will be. Even if it kills me, something that it still be. Cool when it's no longer hot. Picked up here after it's dropped for those that love hip hop. But quite simply can't take it no more. They wanna hear the whole truth on the flow. So let's go, y'all. What y'all want y'all with that dope shit?
Yeah.
That hardcore kick, I'm in the dope shit.
Yeah.
That's just a weak summer, can't go quit.
Yeah.
That's just your favorite rapper, wanna go quit.
Yeah. I got harder and I come harder.
Yeah.
It gets realer than a go realer.
Yeah.
I come harder and I come harder.
beam music, full head of steam music. Use it, don't abuse it. Kerosene, gasoline, use it. Fueling your track through the everyday struggles for the modern day hustle. Like folks to juggle two or three jobs with two or three mouths to feed. 2 or 3 years left before you get your degree. If you a free black man without crack rocks and a wicked jump shot, many more ways to lean with your background music for your mind, whether or not to add into the crime rate. Something rhyme to keep your mind and your spine straight. Cause like the bitch and every day is a blind date. This is a break from the hootin' this, hootin' this, drug and gun shooting it, slipping this, slurping this, image this, sorting this rap. I'm just here to be kicking and recording this, putting that flow for your head hold. Here go, what y'all? I want that dope shit. Damn. That hardcore kick him in the throat shit. That's just a weak stomach can't cope with. That's just your favorite rapper wanna go through. I go hard when I come harder. You won't. It gets better than a gorilla. I come hard and I come harder. You won't. It's gonna kill you if it don't hit you. I'm a star, project a camper shark. Man, Skippy, I'm a god. Messes brought you alive by your lot of from far. Run and get your bomb squad for your head. Cause we gonna challenge everything they tell you. When they saying you a rebel, or you go and straight the head, you tell them. Not a destination. Unless you wanna test my theory, don't test my patience. I'ma make my heaven on earth for what it's worth. One time, justice I have what is deserved. For my family, friends, fans, folks. All leg, leg, arm, head, shoulders, knees, and toes. One question and they go. What y'all want that dope shit? Damn. That hardcore kick them in the dope shit. Damn. That's just a weak stomach can't cope with. Damn. That's just your favorite rapper wanna go get.
I come harder and I come harder. It gets realer than a gorilla. Yeah. I come harder and I come harder. It's gonna kill you if it don't hit.
Warning, the sound you're about to hear can be devastating to your ear.
I love it, I love it.
You're listening to Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com.
You ready for the hurricane?
1 minute after the hour on this Halloween version of Reese on the Radio, October 31st, 2012, 1 minute after the hour. Again, I'm actually looking at Drudge Report now. And, oh, hell. You know, it never, ever ends. Never ends, ladies and gentlemen. It just doesn't end. Drudge Report has a headline that says, sex scandal to hit campaign developing. Now, I don't know who exactly is going to be hit with this scandal. I'm, of course, dying to find out. Sex scandals are always the best during presidential campaigns. They happen all the time. But I'm dying to hear what it is. You know who's... Mike, I want to get you on the line, because I've got to ask you about this woman, because I don't know much about her, and I shouldn't assume that you do, but I'm going to take a leap of faith here to ask you about Jill Stein. Are you familiar with her?
She's the Green Party candidate, right?
Yeah. According to a story that's now on Drudge, she's been arrested again.
Dang, I don't get it, man. I mean, she was arrested once for trying to get on stage at the debate, and they arrested her. What'd she get arrested for this time?
Well, I'm looking, actually, the story's popping up now. Let me see. It says, Jill Stein, a presidential candidate from the Green Party, has been arrested in Texas while attempting to resupply protesters campaigning out in trees to oppose the Keystone XL pipeline, according to the anti-pipeline activist. The tar sands blockade activist said she was released soon after after taken to Wood County Jail in Quitman, Texas. So apparently she got a criminal trespass charge, which is a Class B misdemeanor. But apparently she's getting arrested all over the place. Does anybody know what... I mean, I guess she's one of these sort of tree-hugging, bark-chewing...
Well, I think that's tea drinker. Isn't that what the green in Green Party means?
Oh, is that what that whole thing is?
I think that's what it means, is they're environmental activists or something.
Yeah, exactly. You know, speaking of these environmentalist wackos... You've heard this whole thing that everyone is now arguing. In fact, I've seen three reporters so far say this about Hurricane Sandy. You got Chuck Todd. You got Shepard Smith from Fox News. And Tom Brokaw now just saying, oh, that's it. It's evident. Without a doubt. Sandy is obviously climate change. Beyond a shadow of a doubt. I mean, I think we need to. Chuck Todd said something about taking our head out of the sand, and acknowledging that climate change is real.
They're leaking. There was no climate change when it happened in 1938.
Yeah, exactly.
When a big storm whacked that region, and when the perfect storm happened, they didn't blame that on climate change. It just happens.
Right, and you're of course talking about the perfect storm, which took place. Up in the Hyannisport, Massachusetts area. What is that, 1991?
Yeah, where the fisherman out of Gloucester
killed. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, this whole idea, I mean, Tom Brokaw, for real? Tom Brokaw?
I mean, Reese, you know, you have to realize something about climate change. Climate change is a belief. Just like religion, you don't have to have proof. Just as long as you believe in it, these people will spout it left and right.
Yeah, it's their faith.
It's the new faith. It's frightening enough that this is coming from, these guys have no scientific proof on the word. I'll give you a great example, right? A friend of mine, Romeo, his little brother's name is Jason, and he put up some post about, showing some of the damage from Hurricane Sandy in Lower Manhattan. I guess it was a picture from Hoboken, New Jersey. You know, of course, the Hoboken is underwater. 1 square mile is near the water. It's underwater. Fine, whatever. And he says, y'all better recognize this is climate change. So I simply ask him one question. What's the definition of climate change? Like, what is climate change? As if, at the risk of sounding stupid, what is climate change? And he says, it's when the climate changes. So,
okay.
Like, I'm responding to him. I'm saying, you mean like winter, spring, summer, fall? And, of course, he has no response. It was like shooting fish in a barrel.
We know that the climate changes. I mean, they found skeletons of aquatic animals in the desert. But it's a natural cycle of the earth.
Yeah.
The very definition of climate means that it changes from time to time.
Yeah. And, you know, it's like this whole idea, they're saying that the rate of climate that's happening in our country today, for some odd reason, obviously means that the earthlings are doing something to the earth. You know, people are looking at all the earth.
What about the ice age? What about the ice age? I mean, at one time, 2/3 of America was covered in a sheet of ice 20 feet thick.
Yeah, but you know what? If you ask most of these people to argue anything, I don't know if you guys remember, a New York Times article a couple of years back went so far as to suggest that dinosaur flatulence played a role in global warming.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, dinosaur farts. Wonderful.
I mean, come on! But that's why I believe that the coverage of this storm is so extensive. Because I think it pushes the same narrative about climate change. Because they're no longer saying global warming. They won't even use the term. I've not heard the word global warming yet.
Yet they're not covering the looting and the violence.
Well, some people said that was actually minimal. Was there a lot of that?
Drudge is all over it. Alex Jones is all over it.
Well, how much looting are we talking?
Breitbart has a video, I think, of some young black gentleman beating up a Jewish guy in the street.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That had to be in Brooklyn.
Let's see. Where did I find it? I'm sure it was Brooklyn, yeah.
Yeah, because that's where all of that would happen anyway.
Well, that could have been from any time in the year if it happened in Brooklyn.
But this coverage, I have to give it to Drudge. I'm so glad that Drudge really kept the coverage of this storm to a minimum and covered other news. I mean, there were other stories that were out there that were completely not paid attention to. Now, you know, any other site, I mean, I went to, Wolf Blitzer. I mean, come on, buddy. I mean, if you got any opportunity to bash Romney, you had plenty today and yesterday, and you kept it to a minimal. I mean, I'm sick and tired of reporters going out to these beachfront properties to show hurricane damage. And whenever we have a snowstorm, they have a reporter going out to this area where the population is like 9 to show how much snow is on the ground. And then you come in, you walk outside your door, if you live in a metropolis of some sort, and the streets are wet, and you got some snow whipping in your face, and you probably have to shovel a sidewalk because you got like 2 inches of snow. But you got the reporter on there whipping through the winds, talking about how it's Armageddon. It's ridiculous to me.
Well, if it bleeds, it leads, man, you know.
But, you know, look, that's funny because they said some 45 people died. I've seen no coverage on these people who died. All I heard was that 45 people died. That was it. There's no one went to these people's houses? Shouldn't we be going to their houses? If it bleeds, it leads. Shouldn't we be there? Hi, Mr. Smith, I hear your grandmother just got hit by a tree trunk. You want to tell us about that? How does it feel? 24 people died with an electric, I believe it was a wire, that got loose at a wedding, electrocuting 24 people. I want to talk to the bride and groom. That's just me. I'm sorry. I want to talk to them. Do you really believe that 24 people died at your wedding may be an omen that your wedding will not last? That's what I want to know. I don't want to see sand dunes. I don't want to see sand in the street on Ocean Avenue in New Jersey.
Better yet, do you feel that you're responsible because you didn't cancel your wedding with the inclement weather?
Yeah, there you go. That there is news. I mean, if we really, really want to cover it, let's cover it full throttle. But you're never, ever going to get any of that. I know it sounds harsh and cruel, but the fact of the matter is I'm sick and tired of seeing people's $1.1 million houses damaged and then think that's news. I mean, I saw a news report today. I swear to God, I saw a news report today that said, Snooki and the cast of Jersey Shore respond to Hurricane Sandy. Really? And then I also saw jokes about Hurricane Sandy and Snooki. I'm sure you heard them, right? Come on, somebody's got to know it.
I mean, as if there was any way they could have stopped it. Are you kidding me?
Come on, did you guys hear the Snooki Sandy joke?
The only thing blowing harder in the Jersey Shore than Snooki is Sandy?
Something along that line. But
okay.
What does Snooki and Sandy have in common? Both of them have...
Both of them blew the entire
they
shore.
They own more people on the Jersey Shore. It's just absolutely insane.
Wow.
I want to see this damn sex scandal. I want to know what the sex scandal is, and I want to know who it affects.
Well, the sex scandal is probably the child molester.
Which one?
Biden's appointee, his security appointee.
No, that's not a sex scandal. You guys didn't hear, FK, if you didn't hear about that story, apparently
no,
Joe Biden's security detail, who is a Secret Service agent, who lives right in me and Mary's neighborhood, right in our town, was arrested for, I guess he was sexually assaulting a 14-year-old girl. And apparently the girl is someone in his family. No news report on that, except for one place, and that was a local newspaper and local news outlets in the Virginia area. One story. So I don't think that this story has anything to do with that sex scandal. It doesn't matter because the mainstream media is going to ignore it, especially if it has anything to do with the Obama campaign. So I'm not expecting anything to happen from there. I'll tell you what I am really expecting to talk about, or I will definitely believe this. I didn't know this, but according to, I guess, some study, since 1860, Republicans have won the presidential election when it lands on November 6th. Now,
really?
1860 would have been the election of Abraham Lincoln. Is that correct, gentlemen?
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Something to think about.
Oh, yeah, no, it's all right. It's not a lot of news. That's okay.
On this All Hallows Eve.
I've got to play some audio. As soon as I get it up, I will have it up. So I'm going to take a break for 2 minutes.
Hey, well, while you're digging it up, let me say this.
Go for it.
When we were talking about the Disney and what they're going to do to your beloved
Star Wars
series, trilogy, legacy, I wanted to get in. There's still, and this is not really, I mean, it's just movie-related and it's superhero movie-related, but it looks like it's going to be a goal for Ben Affleck. It's going to be a goal for him to direct the the Hall of the Legion of Justice, Justice League, Justice League.
Oh, the Justice League of America.
Right.
So Superman, Wonder Woman, Batman.
Right.
So it, so wait a minute. It's a go that he's going to direct that first movie?
That's what I'm hearing. That it's going to be a go. I'm sure he's going to be suiting up. I'm not sure who he's going to be.
I'm pretty sure that rumor was shot down.
You sure?
I thought I read something about it earlier.
I'm like 90% sure that that rumor was shot down after it first started coming out.
I hope it's not going to happen.
Hold on, let me look it up.
Why would he do? I understand the whole Argo thing as getting critical acclaim, but I don't know, Ben. I don't know if you'd be doing superhero movies. You know, are you jealous of Jon Favreau? You know, this guy has independent roots. You know? And so he gets the big blockbuster gig, and now, you know, you want to take on this juggernaut of it. I mean, it's the Justice League, man. You could screw this up. It's the reason why Wonder Woman has never, ever taken off since, you know, Linda Carter played the role, man. Because no one gets it right. Didn't they have a Wonder Woman TV series that lasted for about 2 seconds?
Yeah, it didn't even come out.
It never came out, right?
Never aired, nope.
I wonder why that happened. Yeah, it never aired. I remember seeing all of the production still, some behind-the-scenes footage. We were jumping over cars. It just never came out. Because you can't put Wonder Woman. It's too complicated of a character.
I mean, who would you recommend considering that she is an Amazon? I mean, we're past Lucy Lawless.
Yeah, we can't have her now.
What's that?
Yeah, we can't have her now. We can't do Lucy Lawless.
Hmm.
It's funny because, you know, it's just not a lot of big broads out there.
I think you ought to go to the WWE and find one.
You might be right on that one. That might work.
I mean, they're part of the Screen Actors Guild.
Yeah, you might have to get one of those big broads.
Well, they're not that big, but
even if they did a Wonder Woman series or movie, they would make her some type of ultra feminist, and her boyfriend would be some type of soppy milk toast dude. You know, it would be totally aimed towards you know, a certain soft type of one in our society.
Yeah, you know what it would be?
It
would be Wonder Woman would be exactly like that, right? Ultra liberal, you know, now organization member. And you know what they'd do? They'd make her husband to be like Major Nelson from My Dream of Jeannie, real pacifist punk guy. You know, who she's got to save every time from gunfire. He's always cowering behind a Jeep.
I don't know, but I thought Wonder Woman really, really... I think they ought to go with the whole lesbian deal with her.
They'll never, ever, ever go for that. They'll never do it. Never, ever do it.
Didn't they just make Green Lantern gay?
Yeah, in the comics. They can do that all day in the comics. I wonder how their sales are going. Is there a way that we can find that out?
I don't even know that there has been that there's actually been a release of that first one. But, I mean, they still have a lot to do before they can even go into this whole deal, because they're planning this for 2015, the release of Justice League.
Yeah, 2015 is going to be a big year for a lot of these comic book movies and stuff like that. So.
Well, they still got the Man of Steel they got to get rid of.
Well, that's supposed to come out next year, right?
Yeah. So far from I can't really tell from the stills, but I mean I like the way they did his costume.
Yeah, made it all dark and stuff. Yeah, I think that was the whole idea. What makes me laugh about that is I'm not really dealing with Kevin Costner playing what's it? Kent's dad.
No, that's Kevin Costner playing Kent's dad or Superman's dad.
Superman's dad, yeah.
No, that's Russell Crowe.
No, Russell Crowe's playing Jor-El.
Jor-El. Well, Superman's dad, though.
Yeah, exactly. He's Kal-El's dad, but Clark Kent's dad is, you know, is played by,
I don't know. I'm not feeling it.
They're stacking the deck on that one. I don't know. I'm just.
Of course they're stacking the deck on it. They're trying to get as many big names as they possibly can. We don't even know do we know who the villain is in that movie yet?
No, I mean, how many times can I bring back Lex Luthor?
Who's that?
General Zod.
General Zod.
That's right, General Zod, right.
So we're reliving Superman 2?
Probably not, but I think they brought him in because of one of the most popular villains that has ever, tested Superman. So I don't think they're replaying Superman 2, but just bringing in a known character.
Right.
Hey, who's the villain in Iron Man 3? For some odd reason, I can't remember. I can't figure out.
The Mandarin.
Okay, Mandarin?
Yeah.
All right.
I've never been big on Iron Man.
Iron Man never had great freaking villains. It's all about Iron Man. Spider-Man had all the best villains.
Well, I guess they're going to be bringing that this Ryan kid that he's going to come in and do the Green Lantern once again. Which I thought was a real...
Oh, Ryan Reynolds?
Yeah.
Yeah, somebody else has got to take the helm of that thing.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Straight garbage.
I thought it was a pretty good one.
That was a big pile of green crap.
Yeah, it was straight. Yeah, exactly.
And do we know if Bale's on for this one?
Who's what?
If Christian Bale's in for this movie?
What, Christian Bale in for what, the Green Lantern?
No, Justice League.
Ah, interesting. No, because if Christopher Nolan's not directing it, and I know Christian Bale loves working with Christopher Nolan, so if Christopher Nolan has no partner, I don't expect a Christian Bale.
Yeah, I haven't heard any of, big names attached to the Justice League yet.
Nah, if they try to make it a bunch of unknowns, I mean.
How about Willy Wonka as Tonto?
I'm so done with that. No one's going to see that movie. No one's going to go see The Lone Ranger.
I'm interested in it, though. Speaking of Christian Bale, I just watched a movie the other night, Equilibrium.
Okay, movie.
Very cheaply done, but I thought it was amazing in a movie.
No, Christian Bale, great actor. Trust me.
I'm talking about the fight scenes.
Yeah, he's a great actor, but bottom line is, he's not doing Justice League. Because he knows that right now, Dark Knight really put him, it's very dramatic, even though it's a superhero movie. It's very dramatic, it's very dark, it's less about, the whole, why am I forgetting his name? It's a complete departure of the Willy Wonka guy. Whatever his name is. Why am I forgetting his name? No, the director.
The guy that has a love affair with Johnny Depp.
Yes, Tim Burton. It's a complete departure to Tim Burton campiness. It gets to be dark, it gets to be dramatic, and, it gets real actors in there. You got Michael Caine. When you got actors like Michael Caine, Morgan Freeman, Maggie Gyllenhaal, when you got actors like that in the film, you don't want to be in something that's going to be camped up in a Tim Burton type fashion. So I don't expect that. I don't expect them to be a part of that. But anyway, I'm going to take a break because I have to. I'm going to go into this one. This is one of my favorite songs back in the day. I love any song where they can talk about times from your youth. Any song about my youth. And when they put it in rhyme, I love it even more. Anybody remember this oldie but goodie by Boot Camp? if you remember all the Got Milk ads, you're familiar with them. They've been around. And apparently this group has put together this song. Now I want you to pay attention, because whoever is doing this, it didn't think, I don't know why they wouldn't think this, but see, I can hear when something sounds strange to me. Now, I want you to listen to this yourself, because although this is supposed to be a choir of children singing, I want you to listen to the adult over their voices, who's obviously helping the kids keep pitch and tone or whatever it is, because these kids are tone deaf. They're tone deaf. And there's a woman.
No, they're abused.
Yeah, these are abused children. But apparently, Jeff Goodby and Rich Silverstein, who have a San Francisco-based Goodby, Silverstein, and Partners, a celebrated ad agency, they released a spot for the Future Children's Project. And apparently, people are now, like, they're pissed off about this. I have the lyrics to the song here. I'll try not to sing along. But I've got to play it because it's just that funny. If you haven't heard it, here it is. And I'll pause it at times so we can mock it. But it's funny what they make these kids say.
Imagine an America where straight lines are fun and free, where gays can be fixed and six people just die and oil fills the sea. We don't have to pay for freeways. Our schools are good enough. Give us endless wars on foreign shores and lots of Chinese stuff. We're the children of the future, American through and through. But something happened to our country, and we're kind of blaming you. We haven't killed all the for lack of trying. The earth is cracked, the bird is stacked, and the atmosphere is frying. Congress went home early, they did their best, we know. You can't cut spending with election pending unless it's welfare, no. We're the children of the future, American through and through. If something happens the park that isn't open, take a breath of poison air. They were closed their ranks until the weather is fake, but you can write off your old hair. It's a little awkward to tell you, but you left us holding the bag. When we look around, the place is all dumbed down, and the long term's kind of a drag. We're the children of the future, American through and through. If something happened to our country, and yeah, we're blaming you. You did your best, you failed the test.
Mom and Dad, we're blaming you.
I've never watched the video in its entirety. I just did now. I heard the song before, but I never watched the video in its entirety. Several things stick out to me in this video, if you haven't seen it yourself. One of them, right off the bat, should be, where are all the black kids? I think I saw three. The other thing that I find extremely odd about this is the fact that these are younger children who would have kids. I mean, these are children who would have parents who are my age, whom I would consider the most liberal generation ever. So these kids, in essence, are blaming the most liberal generation. Flat out. And just to give you a breakdown of some of these lyrics, we don't have to pay for laziness. Our schools teach real history. Our soldiers fight for peace on foreign shores for our children's liberty. With the children, I mean, what are they talking about? We haven't killed all the polar bears. I don't know. Is this somebody else's rewriting of it?
No, we haven't killed all the polar bears, as some people say.
Wait. No, there's somebody rewrote the lyrics here, because these aren't the correct. Because the next line is, we haven't killed all the polar bears, but I think the line was...
we haven't killed all the polar bears. Take a breath of...
No. We haven't killed all the polar bears, but it's not lack of trying.
Yeah.
That was the next line. So somebody wrote some weird things here. I got to ask you, JC, please tell me you heard this before. JC? Let's see, I'm you. Edward, have you heard this song yet?
Not this particular song, but I've heard others. I mean, right after Obama was elected, not too far from me in New Haven, Connecticut, these teachers had these kids singing a chant to Obama, my Obama, this and that, you know. It's
dude, I'll never forget that one.
Yeah.
You know what, though? This song, I'm telling you, whoever these kids' parents are should be charged with child neglect. Who puts this shit in their kids' heads?
Well, the teachers obviously did.
Well, who allows that? What do you mean the teachers? It was teachers that did this?
Of course it was. Well, in this case, it was an ad agency. But it had to be a teacher of some sort.
We're going to spread happiness. We're going to spread freedom. Obama's going to change it. Obama's going to lead them. We're going to change it.
Love it.
We're gonna change the world.
Now this was done by school. Right now, bitch, still got a job? First question I would say. So, remember when your kid was singing about hope and change in the classroom? How's that working out for you now?
You can't sing certain songs that are in history. What is the song you can't sing anymore in school?
Oh, all right. You
the Pledge of Allegiance.
Yeah, you can't sing the Pledge of Allegiance. God Bless America. Remember, the kids were
booed. But you can sing about this jackass.
Well, this was 2008.
I don't give a damn when it was.
Yeah. And people were talking about this like, oh, it's the sweetest thing in the world. I'm just like, everyone's like, have you not heard of Kim Jong-il and Vladimir Putin? Have you not heard of these people? Like, Kim Jong-il used to be, I think he was woken up every morning to the voices of children singing. I'm almost certain of that. Who in the world thought this? But why hasn't anyone in any one of these grassroots companies or any one of these quote-unquote super PACs go out there, find the parents, talk to them and go, hey, remember 4 years ago when your daughter sang in this choir? So how do you feel about the president in his last 4 years? I would love to hear from these people. I want to know whether or not they still believe that
they're probably dead from breathing sick air, poisonous air, and drinking poisonous water.
I
want
to hear
oil-topped water.
Someone should investigate where these people are. Because I'd love to see what they're doing.
I think it's appalling. It's disgusting. disgusting. And if anybody even thought about asking if I had a kid and anybody even thought about it, even looked at me crooked about some shit like this, I would go off. Off. I wouldn't let them. I don't care if it's for Obama or anybody else. It's not a kid's, you know, these kids at this age, that's not a place for them. Let them be kids. And, oh, we're blaming you, our parents? What are you talking about? Go eat a bowl of Captain Crunch or something. I mean.
But, look, you couldn't ask one of these kids anyway, what, you know, can you prove to me how the polar bears are dying? And the only answer they would give you is that that's what their teacher says. You know, they know that, and there's no truth to it. It's sad, but it's just a fact of our life. The idea is to indoctrinate them without fact.
It's shameful. These people ought to be ashamed of themselves.
Of course they should be.
I'm disgusted. You don't understand the level of disgust I feel for them.
Well, you know what? You know what can you possibly?
This is the future of our world.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
They are not the future of our world. They are clearly not the future of our world. In no way are they the future of our world.
And I wonder, they're talking about poisonous air. Do any of your parents smoke cigarettes?
That'd be a great question.
Do any of them drive an SUV? A Hummer, perhaps?
Don't start crapping on the SUVs now. What are you doing?
No, but they're saying that's what's poisoning the air, is
yeah,
all, you know, we're polluting the air.
I know.
So do all of these kids, do their parents grow their own greens and their own,
exactly,
you know,
exactly.
All that? Come on, get real.
What does your carbon footprint look like?
Exactly. Where's your carbon footprint portfolio?
Take a break. We'll be back in Truth on the Radio.
I don't think you or anybody who's been watching me campaign would suggest that in any way we have tried to divide the country. We've always tried to bring the country together.
The question in this election is, which way do we go? Do we go forward towards a new vision of an America in which prosperity is shared, or do we go backward to the same policies that got us into this mess in the first place?
We've always tried to bring the country together.
We're not trying to push financial reform because we begrudge success that's fairly earned. I mean, I do think at a certain point you've made enough money.
We've always tried to bring the country together.
It is important for me to go ahead and affirm that I think same-sex couples should be able to get married.
The private sector is doing fine.
We've always tried to bring the country together.
This month we're announcing the 2012 launch of African Americans for Obama.
We've always tried to bring the country together.
Visit Latinos.BarackObama.com to get involved today, because we are greater together. Estamos Unidos.
We've always tried to bring the country together.
This unbelievable American system that we had that allowed you to thrive. Somebody invested in roads and bridges. If you've got a business, you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen.
I don't think you or anybody who's been watching the campaign would suggest that in any way we have tried to divide the country. We've always tried to bring the country together.
Reese on the Radio is responsible for this ad.
Our Republican Party was founded in 1854 by anti-slavery, well, I guess they must have been anti-slavery racists, who departed the Whig Party and opposed the pro-slavery Democrats. The first presidential candidate for the Republicans was John C. Fremont, known as the Pathfinder. The Democrats went into full fear-mongering mode on this guy and said to the people, hey, if you elect a Republican, slavery is all but over. Well, Fremont lost, but in 1860, the second Republican candidate, Abraham Lincoln, did win. Between the date of his election and his inauguration on Monday, March 4th, 1861, seven of the slave states in the Deep South had left the Union to form the Confederacy. Left it before he was even sworn in as president, because they knew that the rise of us racist Republicans meant the end of slavery in America. And it did, too. After the war ended, Lincoln was assassinated by Democratic activist John Wilkes Booth, and then the racist Republicans passed the 13th Amendment, abolishing slavery, the 14th, providing due process and equal protection under the law, and the 15th Amendment, providing voting rights to blacks. The non-racist Democrats fought all of these things tooth and nail, and when the first black men were elected to Congress as racists, as Republicans, the Democrats got to work and founded the Ku Klux Klan to make sure it wouldn't happen again for a century. Democrats wrote the odious Jim Crow laws that kept blacks in position of slavery. All of those pictures that you've seen in the 1960s of people turning fire hoses and dogs on peaceful black marchers were unleashed by Democrats like Lester Maddox, Bull Connor, and George Wallace. You know, the great anti-slavery writer Frederick Douglass, also a racist Republican, once wrote, "I recognize the Republican Party as the sheet anchor of the colored man's political hopes and the ark of his safety." The ark of his safety. Now, of course, Democrats can't argue with this history, mostly because it's true, although that's not usually stopped them before. So, what they say to justify this century of shame is that right around the time that they themselves, modern Democrats, came along, the parties mysteriously switched sides. Now, what really happened was that the loving, decent, progressive racism that's been a hallmark of the Democratic Party took a new and subtle form. They invented a new way to keep black people on the plantation, working for them, like they used to. They gave them free food, free housing, and free medical care in exchange not for a harvest of cotton.
This ad, because I'm going to play it tomorrow.
Guys, I'm going to drop off a little early so I can actually have dinner with my wife, because it's almost done with dinner in and of itself. But
have dinner with his wife that he cooked dinner for.
Yes, I cooked dinner for you. But I got to get
such
this ad.
Good husband.
You know, Q-Tip, I'm done with you. I mean, we're finished, man. I mean, anything before the Renaissance, I will listen to, but Q-Tip, I'm done with you. Now you're in Planned Parenthood ad.
Damn.
Q-Tip, you're from St. Albans, Queens, my friend. I mean, I understand that you got a new album coming out on Kanye West's record label or whatever. I understand you got something coming out in 2013. But Q-Tip, come on. Really? Does he have any kids? Does anybody know?
I don't know.
Q-Tip, Mary J. Blige, I expect you to be there. You know, you've got to recover from that, you know, McDonald's or Burger King chicken ad. I understand.
Crispy chicken, pathetic.
I hate that song. Edward, have you seen this? Have you seen this?
No, I haven't seen it.
You have to see it. You know, putting a bunch of men in pink shirts, it's actually, I swear to you, talk about an administration running out of ideas. The commercial is called, you can look it up, Yes, We Plan. It's a Planned Parenthood ad called Yes, We Plan.
We plan to kill all you Negroes.
Exactly.
And we're gonna get you to volunteer to tell all the rest of your Negro friends about it. Tell your mammy and your pappy and your baby pappy and your baby mammy all about it.
Yes, we plan to kill your kids. That's exactly it. Yes, we plan. I actually like that. I do. Now I've got to find the darn thing, because now it's, forget about it, it's eating at me. So I'll find it now, because I've got to play it. It's just, I don't know why Q-Tip is there.
Damn, Q-Tip, what happened to riding and roller skates in the video? What are you doing talking about Planned Parenthood?
Why are you even there? Here it is. This is the ad. Yeah, so these are all of the people.
Is he the only black person in the whole goddamn video?
No, there's another black person or mixed race person that's in there of some sort. I couldn't even tell you. But anyway, here's the ad.
For you,
and for most Americans. Protecting women's health is a mission that stands above politics.
Women are not an
interest group. They're mothers and daughters and sisters and wives.
They're half
of this country.
And they're perfectly capable of making their own choices
about their health.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Did this joker just say, and they're perfectly capable of making their own choices regarding their personal health? Okay, Obamacare.
But with government intervention.
Well, I didn't hear his ass say that.
Well, that's because he's not going to tell you that that's the whole thing. Ah, this stupid thing is crashing on me. I knew it was going to happen. That's what I'm saying. Anytime I try to play something like really, really quick or off the fly, I get this stupid... Oh, here we go.
Interest group. They're mothers and daughters and sisters and wives.
They're half of this country.
And they're perfectly capable of making their own choices about their health.
Generation after generation, we have built a better world for our daughters. We found our voice, and our voice has grown powerful. And we know that when we speak, the world must listen.
The world must listen.
Yes.
Yes.
We build healthier families
and stronger communities. We build a better America.
Yes.
Every decision we make leads to new and better opportunities
for ourselves and for our daughters and sons.
We choose today the world we will wake up in tomorrow.
We select leaders who will deliver on the promises we make to our children. We choose to move forward. Always forward. Never turning back. We've got to keep moving forward.
We've got to keep moving forward. We've got more work to do.
Yes.
I don't think your boss can decide what's best for your health and safety.
I don't think your insurance company gets to decide what care you should get.
And I sure don't think any politician should decide.
The only person who should decide about your health care is you. We believe that when we make the important decisions about our lives, our health, and our families, we have control over our destiny.
Yes, we can.
We have earned the right to be respected.
And when we stand together to speak, to fight, to protect our health and our rights,
we are powerful
and
we will win. Yes. We plan.
I know you'll never stop fighting to protect the health care and the choices that America's women deserve. As long as I have the privilege of being your president, neither will I.
Yes, we plan.
Yes, we plan.
Okay, go
on. Hold on. If Planned Parenthood is really going to benefit anybody, I don't think that it's really benefiting women. Men, if you really think about it, no more baby mama drama. Get out there and vote for Planned Parenthood. No more child support. Tell every bee you have sex with and you get pregnant, come on, we're going down to Planned Parenthood. You got to get an abortion, boo. Because we planned. Yes, we planned. I'm going to have sex with you unprotected. And I'm going to skeet all up inside you.
All right.
And get you pregnant. And then we're going to go down. I got an appointment for us in 3 weeks. Down on 15th and 8th Street, Northwest, to the local Planned Parenthood.
And we go now.
What in the hell are these? What? Oh, my God. And did he have movies?
He had what?
He had movies. He had bigger tits than Mary J. Blige.
Ooh. Oh, you talking about
Q-tip. He looked like he had movies. Man boobs. Stop hanging out at Planned Parenthood, my brother.
So there's the ad.
And Julianne Moore, you know, I like her.
Oh, she's a dedicated lib now.
Oh, God.
She's a dedicated lib.
Come on, redheads. Get your shit together.
She is a dedicated liberal.
And Mary J. Blige, God, I love her, but I mean, she's a freaking idiot.
This is the reason why I tell them you can't get into the political fray, because no one's going to respect you at the end of the day. If your candidate loses or, you know, something bad should happen, nobody's going to like you anymore. You supported this moron.
Yeah, you're ruining your career.
Yeah, but they don't care about that. They think this is more important. Barack Obama is more important to these people than their own careers.
And that's, I mean, that's just the state that you know.
No, their stupid idealism.
Well, well,
is more important.
Ideology.
Than their own ideology is more important than anything else, because you can have any ideology you want to. But don't infuse that in everybody else's life.
But they don't care about that. I said.
Because I don't care about your political view. I want to listen to you blow.
The re-election of Barack Obama is more important than their political careers.
I want to see you act Julianne Moore. Mary J. Blige, I want to hear you blow like you blew at the concert I saw you in a few years ago. Q-Tip, I want to see you hanging out at the train station or something in Jamaica looking
really?
For girls to take home. To your brothers coming out of jail party. That's where you belong. Not talking about yes, we plan.
You did not see Q-Tip doing that.
Yes, I did. He asked me and my girlfriend. I swear to God, Virginia Rigos and Melanie, and maybe Karen was with us too. I don't think Karen was with us, but the three of us, his brother was coming home from jail. It was like 1992.
Okay.
His brother had just got out of jail.
Wow. This is like Midnight Marauder year.
And we were hanging out at my uncle's bar on Jamaican something across at Blarney's across from Red's Cafe, and I don't know if we were going to the Optimal store on the corner or whatever, but he stopped us, of course, and was trying to holler at everybody. Oh, why don't you come back to my come back to the crib in Brooklyn? We're gonna have a party for my brother. He just got out of jail. Blah blah blah. I'm in a music video. I'm this. I'm that. We were like, nigga, please, your work for UPS.
You know,
and a week later, I get a phone call. You better put on, what was the
Ralph
channel?
Jen,
no, but what was the channel on the TV? You had to turn it to like UHF.
Yeah.
Video, what was it?
Video Music Box.
Video Music Box. Melanie's like, you better put it on because that motherfucker's in the video. Sorry, my bad.
That's our show. Hey. Go ahead, Edward.
I was going to say, Mary hit it again on the head with this Planned Parenthood thing. A lot of guys are also supporting this Planned Parenthood. Because you can go down there, you know, and get free STD treatments and, you know, tests. You know, a lot of guys walking out there, you know, not admitting that they, you know, got treated from Planned Parenthood.
I'll tell you what's scary about it. When you see the T-shirts, do you know what? It has 2012 on it. Yes, we plan. The zero in 2012 are birth control pills.
But if men had any sense, they would be the biggest supporters, because this is the end-all, cure-all.
Yeah,
Mary, you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Back when I was in college, the guys who had sense, they took the girls down to Planned Parenthood when things need to get taken care of.
That's exactly it. That's our show for the with more news, more views, and my usual shenanigans. Thank you. Edward, we'll see you tomorrow. Fight mine.